We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We're getting set for Alabama against Mississippi State on Saturday in Starkville. Roger Hoover now pleased to be joined by the voice of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, Neil Price from Starkville, as we get ready for the every 2-year trip to hear those cowbells. And Neil, we hope the cowbells are ringing loud and proud coming up on Saturday. How's everything going?
That's good, and I'm sure they will be. You know, this young Mississippi State team has given Mississippi State fans something to be excited about, and they're coming off of a big win 2 weeks removed at Texas A&M. And, you know, even though they're still very young and they're not exactly the deepest team in the league, they're showing progress. And I think that's all you can ask for as a state fan 2 years in with a new staff is, can you see the growth? Can you see the maturity? And we are seeing that in certainly two phases of the game, and hoping that we can get a third with special teams.
Yeah, what are the steps forward for this football team that you've seen throughout the year to this point?
Well, I just think that on offense, you know, you're seeing Will Rogers grow as a starting quarterback. And the first time he played considerable snaps in a game was a year ago at Alabama when KJ Costello got knocked out of the game. So it kind of became his job from there on. And, you know, he started 11 games, I think, now. He's still what would be a true sophomore. There's still not a huge body of work there. But what you're starting to see is that he's got his eyes in the right place defensively. He's finding the open target. He's making the right read. And I think the most important thing is that he has the respect of the people that are playing on the field with him at a very young age and a very early stage in his career. So all of those things are positive from that position. The other area where they're getting better is on the offensive line. And last year they're learning a new system. They're playing with wider splits probably than any state team has played with here in a long, long time. And you've got five guys who have never played as a starting unit together. And in the last 2 weeks, I think they've played their two best games. Now, obviously, it's a big challenge on Saturday. But can they continue to show improvement? Can they keep their quarterback upright and give Will time to get the ball out? If they can do that, then, yeah, they're continuing to make progress in the right direction. The other thing is I think you've got some guys that are gelling, too. So, Makai Polk's been the leading receiver on this team this year. first year in the program, transferred over from Cal. He's learning Will Rogers, just like Will's having to learn him. And those two guys have been able to put together pretty good chemistry and make some big plays. And Will's done a good job spreading the ball around, too. So those are a few things that come to mind. On defense, they've just been incredibly aggressive, and they have a good nose to follow the ball. Now, that's bitten them a couple of times. They've given up some big plays, and I think that's the area they've got to clean up the most on that side of the ball. But they're getting good pressure from their defensive front. Their linebackers are doing a nice job, and that group in the secondary has really stepped up, produced some big-time takeaways for them, and I think they've got two very good corners in Emerson and Forbes. So they have the pieces over there, and with the exception of those busts early in the season, they have played pretty solid ball on the defensive end.
And looking back at Will Rogers for a moment, is the air raid offense really suited well for him? Is he running it better than anybody else has at Mississippi State since Coach Leach arrived?
Well, there have only been two guys who have run it since Coach Leach has been here. KJ Costello was the other. And, you know, Will suited for it because he was a prep at Brandon High School. His dad was his offensive coordinator, and they ran a version of the air raid. Gardner Minshew ran the air raid at Brandon High. So, yeah, I think he's uniquely qualified to do that. He's still doing it against college players in the toughest league in America, and he's 11 starts in. So I think that you've got to have some perspective with regard to what he's trying to accomplish. But, yeah, I think he's qualified to do it, and he's completing north of 75% of his passes. I couldn't tell you the last time Mississippi State had a passer that was that efficient, and I think all that bodes well for his future.
Thinking about Alabama against Mississippi State, especially with the defense, like you mentioned a moment ago, where does this defense for the Bulldogs match up best against Alabama's offense?
You know, it's a great question because, you know, you've got some talented guys in terms of what Alabama's been able to use in that receiving core. And I think, again, the corners for State are going to give them a chance, at least those frontline guys, Emerson and Forbes, to try and make some plays. You know, it's going to come up to how much can Fred Peters and how much can Jalen Green help out at the very back end to make sure they keep those receivers in front of them. I think that's a big part of it. The other thing, you know, they've been really good at stopping the run this year. And I know Alabama is a little bit thinner at running back than it was at the start of the season. They've still got three really good guys there. But I think that's something that could play into Mississippi State's hand a little bit too, playing at home, if they can make them a little bit more one-dimensional. Those are the things I think about, you know, early in the week. Now, that could change as we get closer to game time. But I think just looking at it very early in the week, those are two areas where State's had success this year, run game and with those two corners.
Looking back at Mississippi State against Texas A&M a couple of weeks ago, what made State so successful in that ball game? Was this kind of everything coming together at the right time in that moment against A&M? Obviously, the Crimson Tide coming off a loss to the Aggies their last time out.
Quick start. I think that's the thing that had been missing for Mississippi State. So second play of the game, the defense gets a takeaway on interception, sets them up for 3 points. Offense gets an early score. You know, that's been something that hasn't always been there in the first four games of the season. And then they found themselves in a precarious spot late in the game where they're trying to hang on and win a game rather than trying to fight their tail off to get back into one down two scores. So I think that was a teachable moment for Mike Leach and the staff to show these guys that, you know, hey, it can be done. I think mindset's the other thing, and Coach Leach has talked about that a lot with the media in the last couple of weeks. You've got to go from a point as players, especially at a young point in your career, where you go out and you hope something good is going to happen, and you get to a place where you go out with the expectation that something good is going to happen. I think early in the game at Texas A&M 2 weeks ago, we saw that mindset a little bit more. They went out there with the expectation they were going to make plays, make something happen, and they were able to do it. And then at the end, when they had to have the big play, the safety from Nathan Pickering, they were able to get it and hang on to win in a pretty tough environment on the road.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Mike Leach now in his second year as the head coach at Mississippi State. Just, it seems like he's comfortable in every room he walks into. He's authentically himself, but how is he enjoying a year two in Starkville?
Well, I mean, you know, I think enjoy is a relative term when you're talking about coaching football. And he likes to point out there's always something you can be working on if you're a football coach. There's always somewhere you can get better. But I would have to think that he is enjoying the growth that he's seeing from his team. And again, we're still really early into this. I mean, 2 years in, and there were a lot of expectations placed upon him and the team because everywhere he's been, Texas Tech and Washington State, there have been significant jumps offensively in year two from year one. We're seeing it, but you know, you're having to make those jumps against SEC defenses too. So I think that has to temper expectation a little bit. It may not be a 10-point jump because these defenses in this league are really, really good. So that said, can you see the little things? Can you see Will Rogers putting his eyes in the right place, making better decisions? Yeah, we're seeing that. Can you see the offensive line gelling? We're seeing that. Can you see the defense, you know, limit big plays? Well, we've seen an improvement there certainly in the last two games that they've played. So I think you just, from a fan's perspective, you have to be able to look big picture and understand that the jumps are never as big in this league as they are in others, and that you have to just look at each game on its own and see what do you do well. And I think if you do that with an objective eye, you could see that State is doing a lot of things better than it was at this point a year ago. So I hope those are the things that he's taken away from all of this.
You know, for Alabama fans who are coming to Starkville for the game on Saturday, maybe it's the first time they've ever been to Mississippi State's campus. What should they experience, especially before the game around Davis-Wade Stadium?
Well, I think, you know, go to the Cotton District and check that out. You're not far away. It's an easy walk from the stadium. It is unique to Starkville in that you've got some little shops and restaurants there that everybody can kind of check out and enjoy. And this time of year especially, that's a beautiful walk from there into campus through the trees and down through campus to the stadium. You know, I think the culture in the Junction is really cool too. And everybody likes to talk about the tailgating in this league, but it really is something to see all those people gather outside the south end of the stadium. And it's kind of a party vibe. And, you know, I think the fans here are really great with regard to how they treat visiting teams coming in. Everybody talks about the Mississippi State family. I think everyone embraces that ideal. You know, certainly that's been my experience with it in 4+ years now. So, you know, take time to walk around. I don't think the campus here gets near enough credit. I do think it's a pretty place, one of the prettiest I've been to. And I'm not saying that because I'm working here. I mean, I've been to all of them. And I think that this one is unique and beautiful in its own way. And it's worth a trip up to the drill field on the other side of the stadium to kind of see that in Central Campus and see town and walk in. And because Starkville is what it is with regard to size, it's easy to experience all that without having to get in your car and fight traffic and do all those things.
Certainly hope Tide fans will take advantage of that coming up on Saturday. And, you know, before we let you go, it was great to see you on the SEC Network a few weeks ago for Kenny Chesney's film, More Than a Voice, looking back at the history of broadcasters in the SEC. Just how enjoyable was it for you to get to be a part of that? Talk about some of your broadcasting heroes, especially legends like John Ward at Tennessee, who you listened to growing up, and then Jack Crystal at Mississippi State, who was the voice of the Bulldogs for so many years.
Well, you know, I mean, I was talking to Eli about this earlier in the week. You know, the only reason I'm on it is because I happen to be the guy who followed the guy who did the games here for 58 years. Okay, so that's the only thing that qualified me to be in the same room or on the same tape with a lot of those guys. You know, what I'm happiest about, Roger, with that project is that it shined a light on a generation of broadcasters in this league that there are people now of a certain age that don't know who these people were. They were never exposed to it. They came along after these guys retired or passed in some cases. So I thought it was great that the spotlight was shined on them again, and maybe there are people out there who could experience their greatness for the first time. Because, you know, when you think about SEC broadcasters, I mean, John Ward, Jack Crystal, Larry Munson, you know, John Ferguson, Caywood Ledford, you know, they're all these legendary names. I'm so happy that we got to hear John Forney for the first time in a long time with some of those Alabama tapes that they played. We got to hear John Ferguson once or twice. And listen, it could have been a 10-hour show if they would have wanted it to be, because they had to cover a lot of ground in a very limited amount of time. But I think they captured the essence of why those guys helped build the brand of SEC football and how they helped build fan bases across the league. And, you know, their contribution should be spotlighted. It is significant in the history of the conference. And I'm glad that I came along even at the very tail end of some of those careers. You know, John Ward was a guy I got to listen to growing up in East Tennessee. Caywood had retired and unfortunately passed by the time I got to Kentucky for those 12 years, but I got to work with people who worked directly with him. So in some ways I got to learn secondhand what made him so great, and kind of weave some of that into what I do in my own career. And, you know, Bob Kessling was a big influence of mine too, helped me get into the business. And Bob learned right there at the feet of John Ward for all those years, you know, before he ultimately stepped into that role. So I just think it's great that those people were recognized for what they did. I would tell you I miss a great many of them. Going back and hearing that brought back a lot of really good memories to hear some of those guys again. And I hope that it helps fans understand too that, you know, radio is still very important to a lot of us. And we're doing what we do because we want to share that with the fans. We want to give them a link to someone who's inside and a part of the program and share in all those experiences with them. We're not here to satisfy our own egos. We're here to do a job for the fans. And I hope that helped them understand that the reason we do that is because the ones before us did it that way too.
Really well said, Neil. Well, we look forward to your broadcast coming up of Alabama and Mississippi State on Saturday and wish you and the Bulldogs all the best moving forward the rest of the year. Just thank you so much for coming on Crimson Tide Sports Network, giving us a great scouting report on the Bulldogs. Best of luck. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Roger.